The contribution of pastoralists to the global agriculture is pretty important, especially regarding the marginal lands. Pastoralists occupy the lands that are less productive and usually where crop production is not possible, like dry lands, like arid lands, mountains, and cold lands. Their strength is that they are able to produce food and high-quality food with a lot of protein, like milk, like meat, and other products like fibers or like leather, in places where you can actually plant anything because the rains are too unpredictable and the environmental conditions are too harsh. This is thanks to their capacity to be mobile and to chase the productivity peaks that occur in the different areas.
Could you identify a couple of examples in particular countries or regions where they're well known?
Yeah, this is a very interesting question because the stereotype of people towards pastoralists is normally like a Maasai in Kenya. That's the people that have been more in the media, but there are pastoralists everywhere and even in developed countries. If you have a look at the stereotype of a cowboy in the United States, for example, they may not be calling themselves pastoralists, but they share with Maasai or with Tibetan pastoralists or with a lot of other pastoralist peoples identity points. They have a degree of mobility in their livelihoods and occupy very often communal lands. And unfortunately, they very often are marginalized. They are marginalized socially because they are perceived as people with no culture or with low culture. They're perceived as people with low education, and they are not very influential in policy dialogue.
So the challenges are similar across the board for different types of pastoralists in different countries?
Yes, there are. And I mean, this is why it makes sense to work particularly with pastoralists and why it is worth developing a working agenda that is specific to this group of producers because of these challenges that they share across the board. It's true that there are some regional specificities. For example, in many places of the world, the lack of services is a major issue. Social services like finance provision or education is not adapted to the necessities of mobile people so that the members of pastoralist communities are faced with the decision whether they should send children to school or learn pastoralist culture, and this is a big challenge. However, in wealthiest countries, the problems tend to be more related to gender balance in pastoralist communities, given that they have been marginalized for so long and they have been left behind by the development of countries. For example, women have massively left the pastoralist communities and they have challenges in terms of losing specific products. For example, cheese, that is very associated with the manufacturing of women. When the women leave these communities, they lose this culture. The communities lose this culture and they also lose opportunities for further economic improvement.
And how will the Knowledge Hub address these problems?
First, there are a lot of organizations in the last, let's say, two decades that have been producing a lot of knowledge products. The Knowledge Hub can actually showcase all this knowledge and systematize it so that it is visible and it is easily understandable. The sense of doing that is to empower pastoralist communities to perform dialogue, policy dialogue at the international level. This is why we are so centered on making this process very inclusive and very open to everyone, very transparent, very horizontal. Pastoralists have been largely neglected from policy dialogue, even if they are a very important part of the agricultural production in the world. And they are also providing very important ecosystem services that matter to the whole society, even for the people living in the cities. So it doesn't make sense anymore to exclude them from the dialogue. And if we leave them aside, then they will not be with us. And that's something that has to be tackled.